Welcome to Time of Grace with Pastor Mike Novotny. In a moment, we'll dive into today's message. When life's storms come, you need more than hopeful inspiration. You need a God who carries you through the heartache and confusion to the other side. That's the loving Father Time of Grace wants to help you encounter. In Amber Albie Swenson's book, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts. This book comes as our thanks for your gift to encourage more people through Time of Grace. And thanks to a $100,000 challenge grant, your gift today will go twice as far to help more people meet the God who loves them. So request your copy when you call and give 800-661-3311 or just visit timeofgrace.org. Later in today's program, you'll hear more about what this resource offers. But right now, let's get to today's message with Pastor Mike Novotny.
Back in 2020, in the old city of Jerusalem, I personally got blessed. Kind of. I was wandering around like your average American Christian tourist when suddenly this rabbi, dressed in kind of raggedy rabbi clothes, came up to me unexpected, placed his hands on me, and started to speak, I think, what was a blessing in the Hebrew language. He's speaking so fast, I couldn't understand all of his words. I caught Israel, America, Yeshua, and I was kind of confused what was happening until his buddy came up and asked for a little bit of payment for the blessing. I said, thanks. No thanks, I'm good. I started to walk away, and so he gave me his second pitch. He said, oh, but the rabbi will sell you a special blessed prayer bracelet, which he showed me. It looked like a red string just tied around his wrist. I said, thanks, but no thanks. And I walked away, and so the money changer gave me his final pitch. He said, wait, the rabbi can bless you with 8 children. And I kept walking. All right. I told my wife about that when I got home, and she did not think that pushing 6 more babies out of her body was the best blessing that she could imagine. Yeah, as I was thinking about the topic of being blessed, I thought about that moment. What exactly is a blessing? How do you define a blessing? What one person thinks is a blessing isn't always what another person thinks is a blessing. We know in the Bible that God wants to bless us, and he wants us to receive, experience, and be aware of those blessings. Which brings me to a couple of questions for you. How blessed do you feel right now? You know, sometimes on social media, people will post a picture of something great and add a hashtag blessed. If your life right now or your week that you just had was a Twitter post, would you slap a hashtag blessed on the end of it? When you're praying to God, the first thing that comes out of your mouth, is it a request for something you really want, or are you just so moved by what he has already given? Or to put it another way, if you had to pick a number between 0 and 100, 0 being I'm totally cursed, God's mad, getting back at me, and 100 is I can't imagine being more blessed, what number would you pick? Let's actually do that, huh? You got a pen in your hand, a piece of paper to write on. If you had to pick, being totally honest, this is just for you, between 0 and 100, how blessed do you feel right now compared to yesterday or a year ago? What number would you pick? Now, as you think about your number, I should maybe define what I think a blessing is. I was trying to give a simple definition, and if you're taking notes, write this down. I think a blessing is just something good that comes from God. Right? Something good, something that brings you happiness, something you're grateful for. But it's not just like you saw $20 laying on the ground. It's not a coincidence or an accident. If you believe that something actually came from a God who knows you and wants to do something good for you, that's what it means to be blessed. So back to your number. As you think about you and God, the good things he's given, maybe the things he hasn't yet given, I wonder what number you picked. Real quick, can I ask, did anyone here pick a number greater than 50 out of 100? Yeah, anyone hit 70? You feel that blessed? A few less hands. Anyone hit 80? Some hands go down. Yeah, a lot of people feeling blessed. I want to tell you my goal today, by the time I say amen, is to take whatever number you had and to make it bigger. My goal is at least 5, if not 10 points. And obviously, I'm not going to be able to fix your health. We don't have piles of money sitting in the church lobby to fix your financial situation. There's maybe complications in your family, in your body, maybe something in this nation. I don't have a a button to change. So what I want to try to do is to shift your mindset and open your eyes to some really, really good things that God gives that we don't often think about. My hope is that by exposing you to these good things that are right in front of you that maybe you never considered, I can increase that number and make you more grateful and make you feel more blessed. And here's why I want to do that. If you've ever dated someone or raised a kid, you know that gratitude is a game changer, right? No family's perfect. No couple is perfect. There's always something that's wrong that we could talk about and hash over and complain about. But if we focus too much on what we don't have as a family, it will erode at the closeness that we feel. But if I'm instead overwhelmed by the good things I get from a relationship, if I tell you what I love about you as a friend, if I express to my wife frequently how grateful I am for A, B, and C, even if she hasn't given me D, E, and F, that relationship thrives. And the Bible knows the same thing is true with you and God. You'll fixate maybe on that one good thing he hasn't given you, and your closeness with God will get stretched and frayed and tested. But train your mind to think about the good things that God has currently given you, and you'll be grateful for the relationship. You'll start your prayers with praise instead of requests. My hope is that by increasing your number, helping you see your blessings, I can actually improve the relationship that you have with God. So today, if you want to know where I'm going, I'm going to try to cover three things from biggest to most specific. First, I want to tell you what I found when I studied all the blessings in the whole Bible. Second, I'm going to zoom in to a really famous blessing in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, that we love to speak here at our church. And then finally, part three, I'm going to zoom into just the first part of that famous blessing and start to unpack it word by word. And my hope is that by talking about all the blessings, this famous blessing, and then a beautiful part of that blessing, you, like me, can feel truly blessed. So, let's jump in. Part number one, what does the Bible say about blessings? I found out through a quick Bible search that there are 389 separate Bible passages that use words like blessing, blessed, or bless. 301 of them are in the Old Testament, and if you would read all 301 of those verses in the Old Testament, you would find out that almost all of them are about physical things. It's about food, it's about health, it's about wealth, it's about fertility, it's about family. The Old Testament wants us to remember it's not just spiritual and eternal things. If God has done anything good for you that you can see or hear or taste or touch, he wants you to count those blessings because he's throwing open the floodgates of heaven to show his love to you. In fact, the proof is on the first page of the Bible. I believe the first example of the word bless in all the scriptures is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where it says, God blessed them, that's Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and increase in number. So I think it's accurate biblical scholarship to say the first blessing was making babies. Not to be too PG-13 here, but God says if he's given you the gift of intimacy, if intimacy leads to fertility, he says it's because God has blessed you. So husbands, I'm not telling you what to say or what not to say after you kiss the woman you love, but you could wink at her and say, you're blessed. Or that could get really awkward and you might not want to do that. It might backfire. Right? God says when he gives you a child, when he gives you a grandchild, when he gives you family, when he gives you someone that loves you and you love them back, don't miss that gift. Not everyone in the world has that. You're blessed. Or, a few pages later, there's another example. The book of Genesis also tells us, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold. Why? Because the Lord blessed him. Isaac goes out to the field, there's a whole bunch of grain, puts food in his belly, allows him to provide for his family. It was his ancient paycheck, his financial security. Why did that happen? Well, the Bible's simple answer is because God blessed him. The sunshine was a blessing. The rain was a blessing. The fertileness of the soil was a blessing. The crop that came back, the body that could reap the harvest, all of these very, very physical things were truly wonderful gifts from God. And so here's my question to you, this classic wisdom that we've heard so many times. What would happen to your relationship with God if you would slow down your busy life just long enough to count your blessings?
How do you respond when your children make devastating choices? Where do you turn when death robs you of a loved one? In the midst of life's storms, God is there, ready and willing to carry you to the other side of your pain. And we want to help you see your loving Heavenly Father at work by sending you Amber Albie Swenson's book, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts. This encouraging resource takes you through the Bible to reveal how God always comes through when His people trust Him in their pain. You Can Trust God When Life Hurts is our way of thanking you for your financial support to keep Time of Grace going strong. When you give today, your gift will go twice as far to reach more people with God's grace and truth, thanks to a $100,000 challenge grant. So thanks for giving, and be sure to request You Can Trust God When Life Hurts when you call 800-661-3311, 800-661-3311. Or visit timeofgrace.org. Now, here is Pastor Mike Novotny.
What would happen to your relationship with God if you would slow down your busy life just long enough to count your blessings? Like, if you literally ask yourself the question, what do I have right now that at least a billion humans don't? That'll make you feel blessed. Now, for example, how many of you drove a car today to church? Yeah, lots of you. You literally pushed the button, turned on your favorite music. How many of you have one of those cars that's so fancy where you don't even have to roll down the windows? And my van is old, but I still can just push the button. Like, well, how many people? How difficult would it be to get to church or get to work or get to school if I didn't have a car waiting for me in the garage? There's a billion people at least, huh, that don't have that blessing, but I do. Do you? We're so blessed. Now, how many of you had legs that could walk through the church parking lot and find a seat? You didn't have to be pushed in by a wheelchair. How many people aren't able physically to move like they want to, move like they used to? You and I might not be Mr. or Mrs. Universe, but if our bodies still move, that's such a great gift. If you've felt healthy, that's a wonderful gift that comes from God. That means that you and I are incredibly blessed. How many of you slept in a bed in your own home last night? Yeah, I know and love people who struggle with housing stability. If you had a roof over your head and four walls around that bed, that's, can you imagine not having that gift? How many of you already had something to eat this morning, breakfast? Yeah, half of you? How many of you are already thinking about what you're having for lunch? All of you? Yes. That's what you do during sermons? All right. That was a test. Yeah, what a gift, right? Some people can barely afford to eat. Man, we have clean drinking. How many of you took a hot shower this morning? Yeah, me too. How many of you are sitting next to someone who didn't shower this morning? That was also a test. Don't be love your neighbor. I think of that sometimes when I'm just sitting there in the shower. Like, how did I get hot? This feels so relaxing and good. Here's what I did. People in human history would have had their minds blown by that gift. If we stop back and think, it is such a blessing, right? Maybe life isn't perfect, but God is like stacking up dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of gifts that a billion people don't have. And if you slow down the count, you'll see. I mean, wives, if you see your husband's dirty clothes sitting there in the bedroom, you could do two things. You can think you're very cursed because you have a very irresponsible husband who can't do the simplest thing. Or you can realize it's such a blessing to have someone that you live with, that you love. If he would pass, you'd miss those clothes on the floor. Right? As you're changing a diaper, moms and dads, you could feel very cursed as you took one whiff. Or then you can realize what a blessing it is to have that little kid with his big cheeks and his fat wrists. Those days are going to go fast. You're going to miss them. You know? The devil loves to just count down from 100 and think about what we lack. God loves to start from zero and think about what we deserve and open our eyes to his goodness and his mercy. So I have some homework for you this week. If you're watching at home, this homework is for you too. I want you to spend the next 7 days, whatever system you want to use, to count your blessings. All right, my wife loves to journal after she reads her Bible in the morning. You just might have a little section where three things, you don't need a paragraph. Just something really good you're grateful for that you want to remember and praise God. If you live with a partner, your kids, your parents, some roommates, maybe you could go around the dinner table for the next 7 days. And before you talk about what's wrong with the world, you could talk about something very right that comes from a God who is so full of love. If you're a person of prayer, maybe before the meal or right when you wake up and before you get out of bed, before we get to God, please help me with, or please forgive me for, maybe we could start with praise for gifts that he has already given. They're right there. The Old Testament is just begging us to open our eyes to see them. Every good and perfect gift, the scripture says, is from above. Oh, let's not miss it. Oh, but wait. There's more. If you're listening carefully, I said that the Old Testament almost entirely focuses on the physical, but not categorically. There's a famous psalm, Psalm 32, where King David talked about the person who was blessed, and he started it by saying, "Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven, whose sin the Lord will not count against them." David couldn't see and touch and taste such spiritual things, but when he stepped back and thought how good it was to be forgiven, that thought moved him to praise. And that's exactly where the New Testament takes the topic of blessing. Right, you turn the page from Old Testament to New, you get to the birth and the life of Jesus, and the New Testament almost launches in Matthew 5 with a famous sermon by Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about who's really blessed. It's called the Beatitudes, if you've read it before. And what does he say? He doesn't say, blessed are the healthy, blessed are the wealthy, blessed are the moms and dads with the little one in their arms. No, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are insulted because of the name of God. Here's why. Because they have God. Can't see God. Can't smell God. It's a spiritual being. You can't touch God. But Jesus was convinced, and the New Testament is convinced, that if you have God, if you're a child of God, if you've been forgiven and saved by God, you actually have something a billion times better than the best physical gift on earth. I love how the Apostle Paul taught this in Ephesians 1. He wrote this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why praise him? "Because he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Years ago, I had a Bible study in my home. We read the book of Ephesians, and one of my very close friends, she could not read this verse without eyebrows in her hairline. And she would insist that her pastor and everyone else in the room not miss these words: every spiritual blessing. If you're a Christian, do you have every physical blessing? No. Do you have every financial blessing? No. Do you have every relational blessing? No. Every family blessing? No. Every friendship blessing? No. But if you are a Christian, do you have every spiritual blessing? Paul's answer is, yes, you do. But you want to be connected to God? Done in Jesus. You want to be forgiven for your sins? Done in Jesus. You want to be forgiven for all the sins? Done in Jesus. You want to be forgiven for that sin? It's done in Jesus. Do you want to be chosen by someone? Yep, yours through Jesus. You want to be loved by someone, known by someone, cared for by someone? All yours in Jesus. Do you want to be sanctified, perfect, holy, pure, blessed in the sight of God? Yours, 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 through the name of Jesus. Pick the best blessings you could have to be redeemed, saved, bound for heaven, known by God, every prayer heard, all of it, Paul says, every spiritual blessing is yours in Christ. That's why the Bible's convinced you could be sitting in a jail cell right now. Your body could be breaking down in a nursing home. You could be looking today for a place to stay. You could be off to divorce court, filing bankruptcy, struggling with fertility. But if you have Jesus, you cannot pick a small number. How could you? Life is short, and everything that matters is guaranteed to be yours through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so mash the Bible's blessings all together, and 389 times the Bible's saying, don't miss it. Please don't miss it. All the physical things you already have, all the spiritual things that are yours through Jesus. Think about that. And your number has to increase. You will feel, maybe more than ever before, that you are so, so blessed. Write a new number. I'll give you a second. And if the number hasn't increased just yet, Well, good thing I'm not done. So we're ready for part two. Let's zoom in to this famous blessing. Back around the year 1500 BC, when Moses and his brother Aaron lived, God chose Aaron to be the high priest, the spiritual leader of ancient Israel. And throughout the books of Exodus and Leviticus and the book of Numbers, God is kind of instructing how church should work way back in the day. And it's there that we find this blessing that for the past almost 4,000 years, people across the planet in different languages and cultures have been hearing. Here are the famous words. Number 6, starting with verse 22, says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them.'" Man, I love this blessing. I'm curious, where are my church note takers at? Is there anyone who doesn't just fill in the blanks, but you're always like writing stuff during sermons? Can I see your hands? Yeah, that's me. This is the part that you're going to love. If you don't like taking notes, you're probably going to be bored. You can zone out for a little bit because this is the part where I break down the beauty of Hebrew poetry. You look excited. Now, there's so many beautiful things about the blessing that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come. God blessing, keeping, face shining, giving us peace. But if you would have been a Jewish person who understood the Hebrew language, the intentionality and the poetry of this blessing would have blown your mind.
Before we wrap up our time together today, let's go one-on-one with Pastor Mike with another tough question from listeners.
Matthew 5:48 says, "Be perfect." How is it possible for us to be? Why would God say that when Jesus died for our sins, thereby proving our imperfection? It's kind of a famous verse. Jesus is preaching about loving people. In the context of Matthew 5, he says, you know, don't just be nice to the people who are nice to you. He says, doesn't everyone do that? Doesn't matter what you believe. You could be a tax collector and you're nice to your tax collecting buddies. So he says, be like God. A perfect God sends rain on believers and unbelievers, those who love him and those who don't. And he concludes that little section by saying, therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How is it possible for us to be? It is not. And the point is that instead of relying on ourselves, thinking, well, I'm good enough to make it to heaven on this ladder that I'm going to climb, we would just be driven to our knees and the law of God would just expose us like a mirror until we just cry out like, Jesus, if I'm going to be perfect, if I'm going to make it, you got to do this for me and you got to do all of it because I can't. And so these are the two great teachings called the law and the gospel. Romans chapter 3 verse 20 says, no one will be righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Right? So passages like that make us think like, oh my, I can't do this. Exactly. Then instead of looking to yourself, you look up at Jesus on a cross where you're absolutely correct. He takes care of our imperfection. He makes us perfect in this great exchange. Have you rejoiced in that this week, by the way? I had a chance to teach in the Jesus lesson for Bible 101, that when God looks at one of his people, he sees perfection. You ever think about that? Like, if you trust in Jesus right now, when God looks at you, he says, dang, you're patient and you're super kind. You're the perfect husband. How did you pull that off? You never miss church. Every time you went to church, you were just zoned in on every word that Pastor Mike was preaching. And every time you prayed, you never got distracted by the squirrels or the moving people. You just always thought about God. You know, God would say that and we'd be like, I don't know if he got the files kind of mixed up there in heaven's accounting system, but that's the great news of Christianity, right? It's not that God just takes away your sins. All the perfect things that Jesus did go onto our account. So when God looks at us, he sees perfection and he opens his arm wide to invite us into a perfect place like heaven.
Before you go, I want to remind you about this month's powerful resource to help you or someone you know experience God's loving care through life's toughest moments. It's Amber Albee Swenson's book, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts, which comes as thanks for your gift of support today that has twice the impact, thanks to a $100,000 challenge grant. So request your copy when you give today. And be sure to visit timeofgrace.org to find books, videos, podcasts, daily devotions, and so much more from Pastor Mike and others. Explore for yourself at timeofgrace.org. Next time on Time of Grace with Pastor Mike Novotny.
We know in the Bible that God wants to bless us, and he wants us to receive, experience, and be aware of those blessings. Which brings me to a couple of questions for you. How blessed do you feel right now? If your life right now or your week that you just had was a Twitter post, would you slap a hashtag blessed on the end of it?
Thanks for listening to Time of Grace with Pastor Mike Novotny. Tomorrow, more about forgotten blessings.